Chapter 48.
No. Oh, no, I moaned. No, please. It can't be.
Still on the steps, I stared at the three cages lined up against the basement wall. Three cages with three creatures, one in each cage. They were hunched low because the cages weren't tall enough for them to stand. They gripped the bars with long, bone-like fingers and howled in almost human voices, so high and shrill and filled with pain.
Help us!
The nearest to me hissed. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move off the steps. They were so sad and ugly. Human monsters, like the demon I saw in Brenda Hart's house. Only their faces were more twisted and wrong and hideous. One of them had an empty eye socket where one eye should be. The creature in the next cage had tiny arms, too short for his body. The third creature, his bottom jaw was missing. No lips, only long upper teeth that hung straight down, and a fat tongue that seemed to spring from deep in his throat. Half of his face is missing. I felt my stomach lurch. A wave of nausea swept over me. I started to vomit, choking, gagging. I somehow forced it down. On shaky legs, I left the stairway behind and stepped closer to the cages. I couldn't believe my eyes. The creatures were so hideous, so malformed, and so sad. Their bodies were bent. Their arms were too short and too skinny. Their faces had pieces missing. They howled and wailed and thumped the bars with their small fists as they saw me approach. This is not an hallucination. These creatures are real. What are they doing down here? I screamed again. I couldn't hold it back. And one of the creatures reached through the bars, wrapped his hot, dry fingers around my wrist, and pulled me to him.
No! Please! Let go! Let go of me!
I gasped. Chapter 49. The fingers tightened around my wrist. I cried out in pain and terror and tried to pull back. But the creature's skin was rough as sandpaper, and as pain shot down my arm, I thought the creature had cut through my wrist. All three of them were howling now, hopping up and down like gorillas, drooling and snapping their jaws. With a sharp twist, I tried to squirm from the creature's grasp, but he pulled me against the cage. Grunting, he slid his twisted face to the bars and spat on my cheek. Oh! A moan of horror escaped my throat. His tongue was sandpaper scratchy, too, and left a prickly trail of hot saliva on my cheek. Oh, my whole body shuddered. As the other two demons shrieked and howled, I turned and stared into the cage. This one had no bottom jaw, but he pushed his face against the bars, trying to scrape my face with his upper teeth.
Let go!
I screamed, but my voice was drowned out by their howls and screeches. I wanted to cover my ears. The horrible cries sent chill after chill down my back.
Let go!
The creature spit at me again. This time, the big gob of saliva flew over my head. I ducked, and to my surprise, tugged my hand free.
Hey!
With a startled cry, I stumbled away from the cage. I couldn't catch my balance. I slammed hard into the basement wall. Pain shot down my shoulder. I didn't care. I was free. I rubbed my wrist. The creature's fingers had squeezed a red band around my wrist. I took one last look at the three of them, still hopping up and down, hooting and grunting, their deep, sad eyes on me. Then, gasping for breath, I turned and stumbled up the basement steps. At least now I have proof. I'm not crazy. The creatures exist. I didn't imagine the one in Brenda's house. I have proof. Got to call the police. I climbed to the hallway and slammed the basement door shut. Still no sign of Alice. She must have gone out. Alice lied to me that first day. She said I heard her cat down there. Why did she have three monsters caged in her basement? I knew I couldn't think about that now. Let the police sort it out. I found Harry's backpack on the floor, leaning against the kitchen counter. I grabbed it up, and with the animal howls and cries repeating in my ears, I pulled open the kitchen door and flung myself outside. Harry was waiting obediently where I left him.
"Where were you?" he demanded. "What took you so long?"
I handed him his backpack. Then I mopped sweat off my forehead with the back of my hand. I couldn't find it," I said. He squinted at me, shielding his eyes from the lowering afternoon sun.
"Why is your hair all messed up?"
"Wind blew it, I guess." I tried to straighten it with my hands.
"I'm starving," he said. "Can we have dinner right away?"
"Sure, no problem." We started to walk. He didn't strap on his backpack. He swung it in front of him in both hands.
"Did you ever go down in your aunt's basement?" I asked, trying to make the question sound unimportant.
He shook his head.
"No. Why?"
"Just wondered."
"Aunt Alice said it's messy and I shouldn't go down there."
We crossed the street. A blue SUV rumbled past. Someone waved to me from the driver's seat, but I couldn't see who it was.
"Does Alice have a cat?"
I asked him. He nodded.
"Mr. Puffball."
"I haven't seen Mr. Puffball," I said. "What does he look like?"
Harry shrugged.
"He never comes out. He's very shy."
"Does he stay in the basement?"
Harry didn't answer. He took off, running up the front lawn to his house, swinging the backpack in front of him. "He's at Alice's house all the time," I thought. "How come he has never heard the creatures in the basement? How does Alice keep them quiet?" Again, I figured the police could find the answers to all my questions. Rubbing my throbbing wrist, I knew I'd never forget the horrors of that basement. But at the same time, I felt relieved. Relieved that I wasn't an insane person seeing horror movie creatures that didn't exist. I couldn't wait to call the police. I made Harry his dinner, microwave pizza and a small salad. Then I left him in the kitchen to eat and made my way to the den where I could call without him hearing. I pulled Captain Rivera's card from my wallet. My hand trembled as I punched in the number. Finally, he has to believe me. I was passed along to two other officers until I was connected to the captain.
"Rivera,"
he said in a grunt.
"I'm not crazy," I blurted out. "I've seen other creatures. I've seen them. I'm not crazy."
Chapter 50. A long silence at the other end. Then Rivera finally spoke up.
"Who is this?"
"Oh, sorry." I shut my eyes. I felt like an idiot. "It's Lisa. Lisa Brooks."
"Oh, yes. What do you want?"
"I'm not crazy. I've been telling the truth," I said. "The demons are real."
Another silence. Then,
Lisa, have you seen your doctor?
No, listen to me, Captain Rivera. This time you have to listen. I saw three other creatures in cages.
Three horror movie creatures in cages?
Yes. One of them grabbed me. They were screaming and howling and jumping up and down, and he grabbed me by the wrist and...
I'm sorry. You're not helping me, Lisa. I have a murder investigation to run here, and it isn't going well.
I am helping you, I insisted.
I'm sorry about your accident,
he said.
Sorry you're having problems, but...
Just give me one more chance, I begged. Just believe me this one time, just this once. And if it turns out I'm crazy, I'll never bother you again, I swear.
I really can't.
Just come to Harry's aunt's house and look in the basement. It won't take any time at all. You'll see that I'm not crazy. You'll see that I'm not making this up. These creatures are real. And... I had to take a breath. The words poured out of me like a rushing waterfall. I knew I sounded like a crazy nut, but I was so desperate to make him believe me, to show him what I found. Just this once, I screamed. You'll thank me. I swear you'll thank me.
Okay,
he said abruptly.
Okay, okay. Stop shouting in my ear.
I swallowed. You'll come?
Give me the address. I'll be right there. I was taking a supper break anyway.
Oh, okay. Great. It took me a few seconds to realize I had won. I gave him the address. I'll meet you over there, I said. They're in the basement, you'll see. I clicked off. I heard Harry calling me from the kitchen. Harry, I'd almost forgotten about him. What could I do with him while I ran back to Alice's house? I couldn't take him there. And of course, I wasn't supposed to leave him on his own. But I had no choice. I trotted back into the kitchen. Do you want more food? He burped really loudly. Then he rubbed his stomach.
No, I'm full. Do I have to do my homework now?
Would you like to play your Xbox game? I asked.
Yes, yes, can I?
I have to run out for 2 minutes. I said, if you promise you'll sit in the living room and play your game and not move or do anything else, I'll let you play it now. He squinted at me.
You're going out?
I nodded. Just for 2 minutes. Maybe 5, I swear. Will you do it? Will you sit still and play your game? He pumped his fists in the air.
Yes! Sweet!
And don't tell your mom I ran out for a few minutes, I said. He grinned.
If you let me stay up late.
I narrowed my eyes at him. Excuse me?
I won't tell her if you promise you'll let me stay up late.
I sighed. Harry, you know it isn't good for you.
Promise?
He insisted.
Promise!
I had to get over to Alice's. I didn't have time to argue with him. Okay, I said. You can stay up late, I promise. I got him set up. I made sure the doors were locked. Then I hurried out the front door, down the lawn, onto Fear Street. The late afternoon sun was a red ball, ducking behind the trees, sending long shadows across the lawn. The air had grown cooler. It smelled flowery and sweet. The people on the corner had mowed their lawn, and the aroma of cut grass greeted me as I crossed the street. I cut through backyards and then a narrow gravel alley. I came to the corner of Alice's block just as Rivera's patrol car pulled to the curb. Rivera climbed out. I waved to him as I ran. His black uniform shirt was rumpled. His eyes were hidden behind dark glasses. I could hear the rattle of the police radio as he slammed the car door.
You didn't have to come, Lisa.
His eyes were on the house.
But I wanted to be there when you found them, I said. I mean, it's important to me, too. I know you think I'm crazy, and... He waved me quiet with one hand.
I don't think you're crazy. Let's not talk about that now. Let's just have a look in the basement. Then we can decide who's crazy.
I think maybe he was making a joke, but I wasn't sure. His face was like dark-stained wood, hard. His features didn't move. I followed him up the driveway. Alice appeared in the door before we reached the stoop. She had pink plastic curlers in her hair. She squinted at me.
Lisa? Is something wrong? Is Harry okay?
He's fine, I answered. I suddenly felt embarrassed. I'd just turned Alice into the police. Maybe I shouldn't have come with Rivera.
Harry's fine, I said. I just...
Rivera stepped in front of me.
Good afternoon. I'm very sorry to trouble you. I had a report.
A report?
Alice's face twisted in confusion.
Why don't you come in?
She held the door open and stepped aside. I followed Captain Rivera into the living room. His gaze darted around the room. I couldn't decide what to do with my hands. I kept shoving them into my jeans pockets and pulling them out.
I hope this isn't too big an inconvenience, Rivera said softly. I wonder if I could just take a quick glance at your basement.
Why was he being so polite to her? She was keeping ugly, deformed monsters down there. Alice put a hand to her throat. Her eyes widened in surprise.
My basement?
She's a good actress, I thought. She's acting totally innocent.
You want to see my basement? She said. Is there some kind of problem? I hope not,
Rivera answered, eyeing me. I hung back by the living room doorway. I had my arms crossed tightly in front of me. My legs felt shaky, weak. I pointed to the back wall.
The basement stairs are over there, I told Rivera.
I don't have a warrant or anything,
Rivera said to her.
No worries.
Alice led the way across the room.
I can't imagine why there might be a problem in my basement, officer. You say you had a report?
Rivera nodded.
Do I have your permission to look downstairs?
Alice held open the door.
Go ahead. No problem at all.
She clicked the basement light switch. Rivera's shoes clumped heavily as he made his way down the narrow stairway. Alice started to block my way. I could see she wanted to ask me what was up, but I slid past her into the stairwell and followed Rivera. I was two-thirds of the way down the stairs when I stopped and gazed around. I saw an old couch draped in a bedsheet, a stack of old magazines, a few random cartons against one wall. Rivera, halfway across the basement floor, turned and narrowed his eyes at me.
Well?
I spun away from him. I couldn't bear to face him. Oh my God. Oh my God. The basement was empty. No cages, no creatures. Then, from between two stacks of cartons, I saw a pair of eyes glaring out at me.
There!
I screamed to Rivera and pointed. I gasped as a large gray and white cat stepped out. He bent his back, stretched, and yawned. His eyes glowed a pale green.
Mr. Puffball,
Alice cried.
I've been looking for you.
Chapter 51. Alice lifted the big cat and hugged it.
You've been a bad boy hiding down here.
She turned to Rivera.
Are we done here?
He nodded.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate your cooperation.
He was staring at me,
I knew what he was thinking. You're crazy, Lisa. I hurried up the stairs first, because I didn't want to confront Alice. How could I explain this to her? I knew she'd tell Brenda about it. I was definitely out of a job. Outside, Rivera patted me on the shoulder, but his expression was cold.
I don't know what to say, Lisa,
he said in a voice just above a whisper.
Are you seeing your doctor regularly?
I nodded.
I'm not trying to be harsh,
he said, his eyes locked on mine.
But I have two murders to solve, and I can't have you wasting my time.
He didn't give me a chance to reply. He strode quickly down the front lawn to his patrol car. He was shaking his head as he walked. He thinks I'm a nutcase. But I'm not, I murmured to myself. Those sad creatures were real. I had the red bruise on my wrist to prove it. Ugh, why didn't I show it to Captain Rivera? He probably wouldn't believe a creature did it to me. After this, I knew he wouldn't believe a word I said. But I knew I wasn't crazy, and I knew those caged monsters were real. Did Alice see me go down in the basement? Is that why she moved them somewhere so quickly? And then another question rushed into my troubled thoughts. How does Nate fit in here? If he is Brenda's cousin, that means he is Alice's cousin, too. But what is the connect between Nate and those three deformed creatures? I was convinced that Nate was behind the two gruesome murders. He had been texting me and calling me, and so far, I'd been able to avoid him. My head swam in confusion. I thought I cared about Nate, but now I realized I was terrified of him. I knew that his horror collection wasn't just a hobby. It was the real him. As Rivera's car pulled away from the curb, I suddenly remembered Harry. I promised him I'd be back in 5 minutes, but it had been more than 15. Alice called to me from her front stoop, but I pretended I didn't hear her and took off running. A few minutes later, I burst through the kitchen door calling to Harry. Are you okay? Harry? Everything okay? I shouldn't have worried. He was still sitting in the glow of the screen, his eyes intent on his game. I dropped into the nearest chair, still breathing hard from running all the way back.
Where did you go?
He asked, without taking his eyes from the screen.
Just to Alice's, I said.
You know, you're going to sprain both thumbs if you keep playing so long. You'll get thumb sprains and your thumbs will turn blue. He laughed.
I don't think so.
Well, it's getting late, I said, stepping between him and the screen. I'm sorry to say it, but it's homework time. He set down the controller.
Remember, you said I could stay up late.
I know, I said, patting his shoulder. But it's a bad idea. If your mom finds out...
You promised! He cried. You promised!
He sounded so hurt. Hurt that I would break a promise. You're right, I said, backing down. When you're right, you're right. You get to stay up late tonight. That brought a big smile to his face. When he smiled like that, the most adorable dimples popped up on his cheeks. He hugged me around the waist.
Stop! Too tight! Too tight!
I cried, prying his arms away. He laughed.
I'm strong!
How did you get so cute? I asked him.
Practice,
he said. His answer startled me so much I burst out laughing. And then we were both laughing. It was such a perfectly silly answer. We spread his math notebook on the kitchen table, and I helped him with the story problems. He didn't need much help. He's very smart and quick, and has a good mind for math. Math always made my brain hurt. I just don't have that orderly, logical kind of mind, I guess. I'm a good student. School is pretty easy for me. But I always have to work hard in math classes just to keep up with everyone else. After the math, he had a story to read with questions to answer at the end. I sat across from him and watched him read. He had tremendous concentration. He never raised his eyes from the page until the story was finished. His homework finished, I made a big bowl of microwave popcorn, and we settled on the living room couch to watch a Disney cartoon on Netflix. He laughed and clapped his hands as he watched. He bounced up and down. He seemed to get more energy as the time grew later. I couldn't concentrate on the movie. Every sound, every rattle or creak in the house made me jump. And my eyes kept wandering to the top of the stairs where I'd seen the green-faced demon last time. I kept glancing at my phone. Did Nate plan to visit us again tonight? Stop bouncing up and down, I said, tugging Harry to the couch cushion beside me. You're making me seasick. He laughed. Then he took the controller and paused the movie. He turned to me, his eyes wide, an open-mouthed grin spread over his pale face.
I like staying up late, Lisa.
It's not a good idea, I said. You're going to get me in trouble, Harry.
I like staying up late, he repeated.
His blue eyes suddenly had an unnatural glow.
Know why I like it so much?
Why? I said.
Because I get to change, and it's so much fun.
I squinted at him, confused. Change? I said. What do you mean, change?
Watch, he said.
He stood up. He turned and faced me. His grin faded. He made a soft, grunting sound. Behind him, the TV was frozen in a cartoon scene with a dragon snorting fire. Harry took a step back. His eyes rolled up in his head. I gasped in alarm. Harry, what are you doing? I cried.
Changing,
he whispered. His hair seemed to sink into his head. Instantly, his hair disappeared except for a strip of black fur down the middle of his scalp. His nose poked forward until it became a snout. His mouth twisted. Long, jagged teeth made a ripping sound as they poked out of his gaping pink gums. His blue eyes appeared to burst into flame. Now, they were a burning red, deep in their sockets. Harry, I choked out. It's you! It's you! You're the demon! He tossed back his head and let out a long, snake-like hiss. The hiss turned into dry laughter. Laughter that sounded like someone vomiting. Dry heaves of laughter. Cold, evil laughter. The chilling laughter of a monster. Chapter 52.
No!
A scream burst from my throat. I tried to climb up from the couch, but he shoved me back down with startling strength. A dry rattle escaped his open snout, a snake's rattle, and he leaped on me, pinning me to the couch. His ruby eyes rolled crazily in their sockets, his jaw snapped, the big teeth clicking. Beads of sweat formed on his green-tinted skin.
Let me up! Let me out of here!
I shrieked. But he had me pinned to the back of the couch. And then he raised his hands. I saw long fingers. The long, skinny fingers. He dug them into my hair. He began pulling at my hair, rattling and hissing, the fingers sharp and hard, scraping my scalp.
Let go! Get off! I tried to push the creature, but he was too strong. He snapped at me. I felt a sharp pain at my earlobe. He snapped again. Missed. Did he plan to eat my ears? I squirmed and ducked as his jaw opened and closed, and his long tongue rubbed against my cheek. Rubbed and pressed, scratched my face. The hot, dry tongue licking so hard as he rattled. He's going to kill me. Like the others. Like the others, he's going to tear me apart and eat my insides. I tried to scream again, but no sound came out. He held my head tightly between his snake-like fingers, held me in place, pressing those ugly hands against my cheeks. As he held me down, he opened his snout and began to lower it. He's going to eat my face. His hot, sour breath burned my cheeks. The eyes shimmered and glowed, buried deep in their sockets. The jagged teeth were drenched in drool. I shut my eyes. I held my breath. I gritted my teeth and waited for the crushing pain. Waited. No. I heard a voice.
I don't believe it.
A woman's voice. I opened my eyes to see Brenda. Harry still drooling and hissing on top of me. And Brenda, hands angrily on her waist, leaning over the back of the couch.
Lisa! She cried.
What have you done?
Chapter 53.
How could you? Brenda screamed. You let him stay up late.
She darted around the side of the couch. She grabbed Harry by the back with both hands and tore him off me. She swung him to the floor and held him there. The creature didn't resist. He didn't try to fight her. And slowly he transformed back to Harry. The black fur slid into his scalp, and the curly blonde hair shot up. He shut his eyes. And when he opened them, they were big and blue again. The green tint faded from his skin as the snout receded, and his face reappeared, his normal face. So innocent looking now. In fact, he looked a little embarrassed. He hunched his slender shoulders. He half turned so he couldn't see his face. I jumped to my feet, wiping thick saliva off my cheeks. I struggled to straighten my hair. My heart was pounding so hard, I felt my chest might explode. Brenda stood facing me, her fists clenched at her sides, her jaw clenched, her expression angry.
I warned you, Lisa,
she said through gritted teeth.
I warned you.
I didn't know.
I stood there, frozen, still terrified. I didn't know what she expected me to say. Did she expect me to apologize for keeping her son up late? Her son who turns into a demon?
I'm going,
I stammered. I took a step toward the front. She moved quickly to block my path.
I'm sorry. I can't let you go home, Lisa.
But
I tried to dodge around her, but she was too quick for me. She bumped me hard with her shoulder. I stumbled back, struggling to stay on my feet.
You can't leave, Lisa, she said. You've seen what Harry is. I can't let you tell anyone.
But,
I sputtered.
I don't understand, Brenda,
I said, finally finding my voice.
He's a killer. He's a monster. You can't let him.
I know he's been bad, she said, but I can control him.
Control him? I cried. He killed Summer and Isaac.
I know, she said. But that wasn't his fault. It was yours.
Mine?
I cried.
My fault? The two murders were my fault? Are you crazy?
You let him stay up late, she said, sneering. You had instructions. Everyone would have been safe if you had followed them. But you let him stay up late, even after I warned you.
You didn't warn me that he's a demon, I screamed. I glanced around frantically, looking for an escape route. The bowl of popcorn, half empty, still stood on the coffee table. The TV was still frozen on the cartoon dragon. Normal life. They were signs of normal life. But my normal life had ended. Harry stood behind me, his hands in his jeans pockets, blonde hair catching the light, a strange smile on his face. Brenda stayed close in front of me, readying herself in case I tried to run again.
You can't keep me here, I said. Brenda, you have to know that.
She raised a hand to silence me. Her eyes were on Harry.
He's all I've got in the world, she whispered. He's all I've got. I'm bringing him up. Bringing him up for the others.
The others? Huh? What others? I blurted out.
You don't know anything, do you? She cried.
No! How could I? I screamed. I thought Nate was the demon. I had everything wrong.
My family is bringing him up, Brenda said. Nate and Sarah Lynn and Alice and I have a big responsibility.
I gasped. Nate and Sarah Lynn know about it? They know Harry is a monster?
He's not a monster,
Brenda scowled at me. Her voice trembled with emotion.
The first three were monsters. They couldn't transform into humans. They were defective, failures. Failures that must be kept hidden away. But Harry is perfect. We made him and we're bringing him up and...
I didn't hear the rest of what she was saying. I could only think about Nate and Sarah Lynn. I thought they were my friends. But they knew all along. They knew who murdered Summer and Isaac and they kept it a secret. They are all raising some kind of demon they created.
I can't let you ruin everything, Lisa.
Brenda's voice returned to my consciousness.
Brenda, please,
I pleaded.
I can't let you leave this house alive. The others are depending on me to bring Harry up to maturity.
Harry had been standing there silently, hands in his pockets, eyes on Brenda. But now, a wide grin spread across his cute face. And as he grinned, he began to change. Once again, his blonde hair receded into his scalp, and the strip of black fur replaced it. His snout grew long, and his eyes flared red. Grunting and wheezing, he became the demon again. He snapped his jaw and eyed me hungrily. Thick white drool ran down his chin.
I can't let you. I can't let you.
I'd been staring in horror at Harry as he changed. I didn't realize Brenda had left the room. But I turned at the sound of her voice and saw her darting back from the kitchen. I gasped when I saw the large kitchen knife in her hand. A long blade gleaming in the light from the ceiling. I froze. The demon Harry stepped closer to keep me from escaping.
I'm afraid you're going to have a very bad accident with this knife, Brenda exclaimed.
No, please,
I uttered in a choked whisper. Her eyes bulged as she leaped at me and stabbed me in the chest. Chapter 54. No, I moved before the blade came down. I threw myself to the floor, and the knife stabbed the air above my head. I felt the whoosh of the blade over my hair. She swung the knife again, and I rolled right into her. I bumped her shins hard and sent her tumbling to the floor. She landed on her back, and the knife sailed out of her hand and across the carpet. She groaned and started to her feet, but I jumped on top of her and tried to pin her to the floor. We struggled and wrestled, rolling over the carpet. Behind me, I glimpsed the demon Harry move toward the knife. His shoulders were heaving up and down, and he snapped his jaw excitedly. I rolled off Brenda and made a wild dive for the knife. Missed. Harry grabbed it and wrapped his snake-like fingers around the handle. He stood over me. I was helpless. On my knees on the floor, he raised the knife high in the air, and a loud crash made him turn. I turned too, and saw Nate bursting through the front window. He landed on both feet, his eyes on the demon Harry and the raised knife. Nate uttered a furious scream as he came running into the room. He lifted a tall blue lamp off the table beside the couch and smashed it over Harry's head. Harry groaned and sank to the floor. He folded up onto his stomach, the knife beneath him. He didn't move.
"What have you done?" Brenda shrieked. "Are you crazy? What have you done to Harry?"
Red-faced, waving her fists, she leaped at Nate. He wrapped his arms around her waist, pinning her arms at her sides, and held her helpless. She struggled to squirm free, but he was too strong for her. He twisted her around and sent her spinning onto the couch.
"Nate, what are you doing here?"
I cried.
"I knew you were in trouble, Lisa,"
he said, watching Brenda warily.
"I wanted to explain everything. I wanted to tell you why Sarah Lynn pretended not to see the demon Friday night. I wanted to tell you how Sarah Lynn and I are responsible for bringing him up too, but...
Brenda jumped to her feet. Nate arched his back, tensed his fists, prepared for a fight.
"Run, Lisa,"
he urged, giving me a gentle push.
"Run! Get out of here! Now!"
I hesitated for a second, but then I took off, running on trembling legs to the front door. I didn't look back. I heard Brenda's angry shrieks. I could hear them scuffle.
"Don't let her get away! She'll spoil everything!"
Brenda cried.
"No, this has to stop, Brenda. I won't let you kill her. This has to stop."
Then I was out the door, Nate's cries ringing in my ears. Out into the night, the cool air fresh against my burning face, I ran down Fear Street. Deserted, no one outside, no cars, nothing moving. The house is mostly dark. I ran down Fear Street, not thinking, not seeing anything at all. Just ran for my life. And all the way down the street, I could hear the furious screams, Brenda's angry protests. A block away, I could still hear her wailing and shrieking. Frightening sounds I knew would stay with me forever. Chapter 55. The next morning, I paced back and forth across Dr. Shine's office. I was too tense and too upset to sit in the chair across from her desk. She kept her eyes on me as I walked, her face expressionless, her hands clasped in her lap. The desk phone rang, but she ignored it. A fly buzzed around her head, but she ignored that, too. I'd been talking for nearly 10 minutes, but it was hard to keep the story straight.
"Go on," she said. "Don't worry about telling it in order. Just tell me what you saw and what happened last night."
My hands were ice cold. I rubbed them in front of me as I paced.
"The police don't believe me," I said,
My own mother doesn't believe me. No one believes me. Everyone thinks I'm crazy.
They think you're troubled, she interrupted. You shouldn't say they think you're crazy.
Whatever, I said. I stopped walking and faced her. Whatever, whatever. That boy really is a demon, Dr. Shine. Brenda Hart is raising a demon in that house.
She opened a black covered notebook and scribbled in it for a few seconds. My chest felt fluttery. I kept feeling cold, then hot. I'd never been as nervous. I took a few steps toward her desk. Then I plopped into the chair. I couldn't walk anymore. My legs were too rubbery. I pulled out my iPhone and pressed it into my lap. And there are others, I said. Other demons. Experiments that went wrong. Really? She eyed me, then scribbled some more.
I saw them in cages in Alice's basement, I said. Only, when I brought Captain Rivera there, they were gone. Alice had moved them.
Dr. Shine tapped the pencil eraser against the glass desktop. Behind her glasses, her eyes narrowed till they were nearly shut. I could see she was concentrating, thinking hard.
This must be so frightening for you, she said finally. I'm so sorry you are experiencing this, Lisa. And I'm glad I'm here. I know how alone you feel now. And I'm glad I'm here so you have someone to trust. Someone you can confide in.
I swallowed.
Does that mean you believe me? Really?
I asked in a meek voice.
You are my last hope, Dr. Shine. Do you believe me?
She hesitated.
Yes, I believe you,
she said finally.
Oh, thank goodness, I cried. Thank you, thank you.
I believe you, Dr. Shine repeated. In fact, I know you're telling the truth.
Oh, I'm so relieved, I said. Thank you.
She stood up.
I know you're telling the truth, Lisa. That's why I'm going to find you a nice hospital where you will be comfortable for a long time.
I gasped. My hands shot up to my cheeks.
Hospital? Huh? What do you mean?
A long, long hospital stay, she said in a voice just above a whisper.
We can't have you telling people about us, Lisa. It just wouldn't do.
Chapter 56. She pressed both hands on her desktop and leaned forward, her eyes locked on me.
You understand why you have to go away, don't you?
She waited for me to answer, but I remained perfectly still, gripping my phone, my heart fluttering in my chest.
You are seeing things, Lisa, she continued. It doesn't matter if they are real or not. You are seeing things you shouldn't.
She forced a smile. It was an ugly, cold smile.
I'm going to order a nice long hospital stay for you, Lisa. A long hospital stay. Maybe a year or two. With other patients who see things.
Like Joy, I thought. I pictured her, Harry's previous babysitter, locked away in that mental hospital in Martinsville. That hospital. I saw myself there, drugged, helpless, the crazy girl who sees monsters. A powerful chill rolled down my back.
When you get out, Dr. Shine continued, no one will ever believe you. No one. And we can all get on with our mission and with our lives.
I don't understand,
I stammered. You picked me to babysit Harry. Why? Why me? She pulled the chair out and sat back down at her desk. She picked up the pencil and rolled it between her fingers as she watched me.
I picked you because you were so traumatized, she said. You had a severe concussion. You were having dark nightmares and hallucinations. You were a perfect choice.
Perfect?
Of course. I knew no one would believe you if you discovered the truth. The previous babysitter was trouble. She had to go. Your lucky car accident happened at just the right time.
I gasped. My lucky car accident? I shrieked. That accident killed my father.
But it brought you to me, she said softly, and I knew you were just right.
How can you do this? I cried. Harry is a killer. He killed two people, two kids from my school.
Your fault, she said, sneering. Your fault. You let him stay up late. Your fault entirely.
She banged her fist on the tabletop.
So far, Harry is perfect. We had three failures, but Harry is perfect. And I'm going to protect him by sending you away for a long time.
I don't think so, I said quietly, calmly. She blinked. She studied me.
What did you just say?
I said, I don't think so, Dr. Shine. I don't think I'll be going anywhere. I think you'll be going away, not me. Chapter 57.
Have you lost your mind?
Dr. Shine snapped, her face twisted into a mask of anger.
Did you really think I didn't figure out the truth about you?
I said. You got me the job with Brenda. You said you knew Brenda from before. You had to know what she was doing with Harry.
You don't know what you're saying, Lisa.
I shook my head. Dr. Shine, do you see this phone on my lap? It's connected to an app called FaceTime. Do you know what that is? She suddenly turned pale. She drew her lips into a tight, thin line.
Yes, I know what FaceTime is, she muttered.
Well, Captain Rivera and two other officers from the Shadyside Police Force are right outside that door, I pointed. They're in your waiting room, and they just watched our whole conversation. Dr. Shine murmured something under her breath. I couldn't hear it, but I could see the fear in her eyes.
You just confessed, I said.
Now they'll be able to round up Harry and Brenda and Alice and Nate and Sarah Lynn and the three other pitiful creatures in those cages, and they'll be able to stop the horrible killings in this town. That was quite a speech, and it left me breathless. I gripped the phone as if it were a life preserver. I gasped as Dr. Shine let out a shrill, angry cry. She leaped up from her desk and bolted forward. She gave me a hard shove that almost sent me flying off the chair. Then she spun away from me, and her shoes thudded over the carpet as she ran out the office door, right into the arms of Captain Rivera and the other officers.
Yes! I shouted, pumping my fists in the air. Yes! Yes!
I ran outside where my mother was waiting for me. She had tears in her eyes and her cheeks were flushed. She tried to speak, but she was too emotional to get any words out. Finally, she draped her good arm around my shoulders and whispered, "Let's go home." Epilogue. I don't know how the police kept the real story out of the news. Sure, everyone reported on the two murders. The story of the cannibal killings was all over town. And of course, people were horrified. But they'd be even more horrified if they knew the murderer was a child demon. that people were secretly raising a dangerous, inhuman creature on Fear Street. That story never made the news. I guessed the police and the reporters decided it was better not to frighten the people of Shadyside. And maybe they didn't want any more scary stories about Fear Street going around. Or perhaps they thought no one would believe them. After all, no one believed me. Till the very end. I could only guess the reason the story was hushed up. But I do know that Nate and Sarah Lynn disappeared from school the day after I brought the police to Dr. Shine's office. They were never seen again. No school announcement was made about them. The principal, the teachers, no one said a word. A week later, I drove past Brenda's house on Fear Street. The house was dark. No sign of anyone inside. And Alice's house had a for sale sign in the middle of the front lawn. It felt strange to lose so many people who were in my life. I felt this weird combination of sadness and loss and relief at the same time. I actually tried to phone Nate once. Yes, I knew he was part of a very evil conspiracy to raise a demon. I knew he had lied to me right from the start. I knew he wasn't who he pretended to be. But Nate had saved my life. He had a last-minute change of heart, and he stopped Brenda from killing me. He let me escape. So I had this crazy idea that I should call him and thank him for that. But when I punched in the number, his phone didn't even ring. Just silence at the other end. Dead silence, I murmured to myself. Dead silence. I tried his number 3 times. Then I gave up. That's all over, I told myself. I'm fine now. I'm putting that all behind me. Yes, my life was definitely in a good zone. For one thing, I was enjoying my new after-school job. I was lucky to be hired as an assistant to the 3 full-time caregivers at the Wee Winners Daycare Center. Most days after school, we have 15 to 20 kids with us. They're from 4 years old to 10, and we try to give each one a lot of attention. This is a better job for you, Mom said, the master of understatement. Mom, any job would be better than babysitting a demon, I exclaimed. That's not what I meant, she insisted. It's a good job for you because you're with other people. You're not sitting alone in a house, totally in charge of everything all by yourself. I had to agree with her about that. It was a good job for me, even on days like today, when dealing with the kids was a challenge. I had to stop Jeremy's nosebleed, and 2 girls were having an angry tug-of-war over the same Dr. Seuss book, and Ivan, we call him Ivan the Terrible, refused to let anyone else have the iPad. Mindy, the boss, had a dentist appointment, so it was just Carol and Audra and me, and even they were a little frantic, since the kids all seemed to be having a very bad day. I spotted a boy sitting by himself on the window seat in a corner. He held a large poster in front of him, and I couldn't see his face. Roger? Is that you? I called, making my way past the crafts table to him. Roger, why are you all alone back here? I asked. He slowly lowered the poster. I stopped with a short intake of breath and stared at the curly blonde hair, the pink cheeks, the angelic round face, the adorable smile. Oh. Stunned, I raised my hand to my mouth. Harry? I stammered. Harry, what are you doing here? His smile grew wider. I'm not Harry, he said softly. My name is Sam. He shot a hand out and wrapped it around my wrist. My name is Sam, he repeated, tightening his grip until his fingers dug into my skin.
Will you be my friend? Will you? We can stay up late together.
We hope you've enjoyed Don't Stay Up Late